The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Under Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University. With our Bears contributors, Alex Shapiro and Eric Strobel, Tony Gill is running the show, and I'm Kenneth Davis. We got a lot to get into with this loss in SoFi Stadium to the Los Angeles Rams. The Bears went down 14-34 to the Rams. Matthew Stafford came back like a vengeance to the NFC North. Man, we got a lot to talk about. There was a lot of things that were revealed. If you believed what was the coaches were telling us before the season, a lot of that was snatched away and thrown in the target garbage can and lit a fire and torched asunder. Let's definitely jump into this, guys. How are you two doing? I know it's early after that loss last night, but it's early in the season. Let me say this. It's early in the year, everybody. Let's play this quarter out. All right, now after this quarter, in the second quarter, we will burn this MF down. So by game 6 or 7, that is when the torch should be brought out. Alex shall bring the torch to the center, and we will burn this asunder. I'm sorry.
I'm bringing the torch?
You're bringing the torch. You're the torchbearer.
That's an honor. Being the torchbearer in the Olympics is an honor. Seriously. I mean,
you're the torchbearer. You're going to bring it from wherever. You're going to bring it from that media day from there. You're going to show Matt Nagy the torch, and he's going to be, and then you shall bring it to us, and we will burn this down. But I'm trying to bring a little levity to a situation. I'm sure we weren't all happy with what took place last night, but it was the first game of the year. But how are you two guys doing this morning?
Hey, man, it's a new day. It's Monday morning. It's a new day. All that happened, that was last night. So today, I'm great. I'm fine. I'm ready to talk Bears.
It's in the past, right?
Yeah.
No, so it was a bummer, obviously. Sorry, Ken, didn't mean to cut you off there. But
no,
yeah,
go right ahead.
It was a bummer. Producing the football after show last night, it was like, oh, at halftime, you know, okay, they go down, they score. It's for as bad as the start of that game was, they're in striking distance. Maybe they can reel this in a little bit, and then just – we all saw what happened down the stretch of that game. It was not a fun after show. I shouldn't say that. It was a fun after show because with those guys, Lance Briggs, Alex Brown, Olin Krutz, we had Dave Wanstedt last night. Always a fun time. Always a fun time, no matter what. But we'd much rather have a better game to talk about because that was a disappointing effort from the Bears, especially for a first game of the season.
I saw a clip this past week of Eddie Jackson talking to the other DBs and telling them how millions of people can tackle, right? It's turnovers, it's picks, basically what he was saying. I'm surmising that gets you the money in this league. And I'm not discounting that, but I would love fundamentals, buddy. You know,
meanwhile, they had neither. They had neither.
Thank you. So. Thank you, Alex. It's that first play. And I was reading an article from Brad Biggs of the Tribune this morning saying that was the same play that Green Bay used last year with their tight end, basically you putting the move going across Jackson's face, and clearly Sean McVay had seen it. And for him to get beat like that, the worst part was not touching him. That him and Gibson not touching the offender that was already down. I mean, that's simple high school, grammar school, Pop Warner football, just to put your hand on him and don't let him get up. That was the first frustrating thing. Maybe that was the second frustrating thing of the night for me.
Yeah,
that play can't happen. That's just plain and simple. That was inexcusable. That was one of two massively blown coverages on long touchdown passes that the secondary allowed. The secondary was, in a word, atrocious last night. That's just plain and simple. The defense as a whole, they just didn't get a ton of pressure. Khalil Mack was invisible. Again, I just mentioned that the blown coverage is like that. It was not a great debut for Sean Desai as defensive coordinator. It was that was the most concerning thing to me. I mean, we'll talk about the offense and we'll talk about the quarterback, but I actually liked some of what I saw from the offense. I mean, David Montgomery had a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. The Bears moved the ball for the most part. They ended every drive before it was pretty much the game was over in Los Angeles territory. Now, of course, there were turnovers, turnovers on downs. But I thought they moved the ball okay. There's a ton of room for improvement, obviously, and we'll get into that. But offense, I was kind of lukewarm to okay on. The defense was just horrific, and that was not what we wanted to see or needed to see in Sean Desai's debut. Again, Ken, like you said, it's week one. Let's not burn this thing to the ground just yet, but a lot of tough signs against a really good team. Let's be honest, the Rams are probably one of the class of the NFC. I would say them and the Bucks, from what we saw, are probably the two best teams so far in the NFC early on. So it's against a tough opponent on the road. All that being said, though, you can't have miscommunications and little league plays like that where you don't touch the guy down and he gets back up and runs 16, 15 more yards to score. That was just embarrassing.
Yeah, was he watching too much Alabama football? Thought it was college rules? Like, dude, you're playing in the NFL. You got to touch him down. And then this was just kind of silly. And I don't know what Matt Nagy is supposed to say, but when they asked him about that play, you know, and again, what is Matt Nagy supposed to say? When he said that's a teachable moment, oh, I did laugh a little bit. I'm like, oh, a teachable moment for your
vet?
Yeah,
exactly. I just screamed at him. It was a teachable moment.
For your highly played veteran safety player, that's a teachable. Yeah, like,
exactly. That's for one of your franchise players.
Yeah,
two veteran safeties who just ran by the guy.
Dude. So that was funny. But again, like, what is Matt Nagy supposed to say? Do you really expect him to, like, really take Eddie Jackson to task? Maybe. I don't know.
Something that jumped out to me, one, this has nothing to do with football. Damn, that's a big-ass stadium. Like, just looking at the level, the two-tiered sweet boxes, I was like, goodness gracious, that place is huge. All right. I'm done with that. I want to get to the offense. This is my issues with the offense. I'm with you, Eric. I'm not totally mad at Nagy for how the plays that were called. I am, and this goes back to last season, I'm mad at him for the damn fourth down, going for it on fourth down twice at the beginning of the game.
Okay,
dude, I want to curse on this podcast. So you're messing up field position. You're not that good. You saw what happened when they flipped the field. One, when they pinned the Rams back, right? And the Rams were in their own 20. How much better the defense was against the Rams. Stop giving the Rams easy field position. But on the flip side, it helps your field position when they have to punt the ball back to you. Stop. It was not time to go for it on fourth down. This was the beginning of the game. And I don't think any of us thought really they were going to get much success off of it. So that, if with the offense, that was my initial issue with Matt Nagy. I think he didn't call a bad game. I wasn't looking at that game like, damn, Matt Nagy's out there messing up. He stuck to the run. All right. He did stick for the most part to the run. David Montgomery looked terrific. All right. David Montgomery, whatever training he did to decrease his speed, buddy, it definitely worked. All right. So I want to see that dip. Damian Williams didn't. All right. I mean, he was okay, but he didn't look like David Montgomery.
I thought he kept the ball moving though when Montgomery had to come out. Like he did what a backup running back should do. He kept the change moving here and there. I thought the running backs were easily the highlight of the offensive night. Montgomery in particular, he looked outstanding.
Khalil Herbert played well as the return guy.
Yep.
But I felt that Matt Nagy did the offense a disservice by one, giving the Rams good field positions on those fourth downs. I mean, they were usually around the 40. So I can understand being like, well, what's a punt going to do? Well, you know what a punt can do? A punt can get them down to either they're bringing out to the 20 or you may be able to stick them within the five. But it'll be better to help your defense and it'll be better to help the offense when and if you can get them three and out or whenever they have to punt it, if they're punting it from their 20 instead of putting it from on your side of the ball and they're already in the 40. So that to me was frustrating, as I already said. So I'm sorry that I'm saying it again.
I mean, I don't know. That didn't bother me as much, to be honest.
It should have, Alex, and that's the problem with me that it didn't bother me.
You know, he's being aggressive, which I appreciate. And, you know, you're kind of in that in-between zone where it's a little too long for a field goal attempt. And a punt, you know, it's hard. I mean, now we've seen Pat O'Donnell bury it in that one-yard line time after time. I mean, he's really good at kicking it to that sideline. So from that regard, I trust Pat O'Donnell to really pin him back. But I think in that striking range and going against the Rams, who we know has an explosive offense, you want to score points. On the other side of that, you know, you also probably trust your defense, right? This is very early in the game. Before the defensive struggles had really, really shown their heads. I mean, there was that one big splash play where we already talked about it. Nobody was touched down. But, you know, when you're in that striking range, I think Matt Nagy is also he's sending two messages. One to his offense. We're going to be aggressive. Go get it. We're going to score points. Right. We need to score touchdowns. The other is the message to his defense. Hey, I trust you guys to be elite to get the stop. Now, neither of those things happened, but I didn't have.
Yeah, so that means they shouldn't have done it.
Hindsight's 2020. Yeah, hindsight's always 2020.
Exactly. He's supposed to, guys. He gets paid to know this, though.
Nobody can
he's not
know.
Us. He's
Nobody
not
can
us.
Know how it's okay. going to go. I was right. with Alex Ken. I got to say, I was I not.
You're out now. I realized that with the Siafa interview. All right, so I'm sure you were Alex. Go right ahead.
Oh my goodness, I'm getting pigeonholed. No, I liked the aggressiveness. Obviously, didn't turn out well, but I look at where this happened in the game, both physically on the field and what it transpired afterwards. So, Alex, like you said, they have that massive breakdown and they go down 7-0. This after Andy Dalton throws the interception in the end zone. So Matt Nagy's probably like, okay, we need to get on the board here. And the first fourth down they went for was at the 41, the Rams 41. So that's what, a 58 yarder. If I'm correct, you're not going to get points there. Could you punt it? Of course, but it's fourth and manageable. It's 4 yards like that. I don't hate that call. The problem
that he did it twice. You don't hate that he did it twice either.
Well, because if you're going to do it, I guess to me, it's like, if you're going to go for it as like, kind of, that's your mindset, right? Like, don't back off. If you're going to be aggressive, stay aggressive. And they held him. So they turn the ball over on downs on an incomplete pass to A-Rob. The Rams, they hold the Rams to a field goal. So it's only 10-0. The next one was the one where it was kind of like, well, it was at the 38. That's a makeable field goal. And at this point, you really need points. And I don't hate it. But what happened was unfortunate, because the play never had a chance. Andy Dalton got destroyed. The ball was fumbled and obviously recovered. Not that it mattered, because they didn't get the first down anyway. But I don't know. I don't mind the aggressiveness, because you're going against a team that you know you're going to have to keep up with. But, I mean, look what happened. They lost defense. By 20.
Okay. I hated both of them. Mm-hmm. And I at least said with the second one, kick the field goal. If you're going to do it, you need to get points on the board. Mm-hmm. To me, and I'm saying this isn't hindsight being 2020. In the game, I'm like, what are you doing?
Sure.
Because this is a marathon. And you're going to have to slow walk this to beat the Rams. A team this good, it's going to be a war of attrition. And you don't need to sit there and give them easy downs. You just said that they went down and kicked a field goal. That's not easy to kick a field goal if you're starting from the 20. You know, you don't know that defense better opportunity. So I'm just saying, watching it, I was against it last night. And I was against it when they did it towards the end of last year. He got away with it. He did it like 3 or 4 times. I don't know if it was the last game or in the playoffs. I can't remember which one of those games that he did that. But even in that game, it's like, dude, you don't have that offense. The Bears' offense isn't that good to get it done on fourth down. And it hasn't been. So to me, it was frustrating to see that, because I think you did your team both offensively and defensively a disservice. And that's just my opinion.
And I think it's very valid, because the After Show guys were on your camp, Ken. They were not thrilled with the calls in the moment. I was sitting in the conference room watching the game with them, and they were not. They thought it was the wrong call. So there are two very valid sides to this. And I think I personally have always wanted Nagy to be a little more aggressive because of their limitations, like take advantage of all these chances you may not get again. So I was okay with it. I wasn't like 100%. Yeah, let's do it. But I didn't mind taking chances against a clearly superior team to try and sneak a score in here or there. I also think that, like I said, the first one comes after that 3-play, 80-yard touchdown drive. And he was probably like, oh, crap. Like, this could get out of hand very quickly if we don't shape up. Like, I need to try and take some of the momentum back after that play. So I think there was a lot of things at play there. Another thing I'll say about the fourth downs, you know who might give you a better chance on the fourth downs is Justin Fields.
Justin Fields.
One, number one. I mean, David Montgomery said it after the game. He mentioned that the Justin Fields effect is real, right? He's like, oh, yeah, Jay Fields is special. He's got this aura about him. The game flows differently when he's on the field.
If you're going to go for these fourth and mediums, like, who gives you a great chance no matter what happens if the play breaks down? It's not Andy Dalton. It's not Andy Dalton. And if you are going to have a package for Fields where he played five snaps last night, maybe some of those snaps should be reserved for when you have these like critical plays. I don't know. That's just me.
So people have been saying the five snaps. Matt Nagy said the five snaps. What was the fifth snap? I can't remember it. He had the pass.
Let me open the game. He had a handoff at some point. I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
Handoff.
Yeah.
He had the shovel pass. Mm-hmm. And then the touchdown. I can't remember what the fifth snap is.
I'm gonna look it up. I got the play sheet right in front of me here. Let me.
All right, thank you. So while you're doing that, I mean, if we're looking for a silver lining, the silver lining is whatever. If it was four plays, if it was five plays, Justin Fields mm-hmm. looked up to the task. I mean, the moment did not look too big for him. That first play was impressive stuff, even though it's just like a little 9 yard out. It looks like he only had one read on the play, and that was Marquise Goodwin. But the fact that it was an RPO, right? I mean, they just throw him in the fire. It's not like we're going to have you hand the ball off or we're going to give you this quick curl. They gave him an RPO. He decides to pass. He scans. He doesn't stare down Marquise Goodwin so that the safety can undercut the route. He's, you know, kind of in the middle of field and then looks to Goodwin and then throws quick, accurate with hands in his face. I mean, the pass rush was barreling down on him.
Yeah.
And he makes an accurate throw. I mean, to me, that's like, oh, yeah, you can do this. This moment is not too big for you. Say what you will about the shovel pass or the end around, right? The shovel pass, should he have actually handed it off instead of dumping it, opting for the shovel pass, whatever. And then the touchdown's also great. The touchdown was an unbelievable play where he cuts in to get the touchdown. So if you're looking for a silver lining, it is the rookie quarterback who everybody has been, you know, okay, you've done great at that. Now let's see how you do it this. Oh, you did great at that. Now let's see, you know, just keep raising the bar a little bit, a little bit, a little bit every time Justin Fields has seemingly knocked it out of the park. So, I mean, at least there was that, right? A little silver lining.
I totally agree with you. It was good to see him out there. I'm with you too, Alex. It was a simple out, but it was still good to see the accuracy with defenders coming down on him. He didn't seem frazzled. The moment didn't seem too large when he was out there. I personally would have liked him to get a series, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
totally.
I feel like you should let him get four downs. You know, see what happens. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm being nice today. After Andy Dalton starts this next game, your commitment to Andy Dalton is over. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Because the season is almost effed up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you may as well get to what the hell we want to see. You know what I'm saying? Because I'll say this, and now we'll bring it back to Justin Fields. Everything you said, Alex, was on point with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is the silver lining. We already knew that. I guess we'll do O-line a little later, all right? But I want to get to the defense. So on that day of the show, go ahead.
Real quick, just I have the Fields plays in front of me. So he had the pass to Goodwin that Alex was talking about. He had the touchdown run. He handed the ball off twice because the only other thing that appears on the official play-by-play is that short shovel pass to A-Rob for the 1 yard. There it is.
What was the second handoff?
I it doesn't say on the play-by-play because it just has whoever ran the ball, right? So
I'm saying I don't think there was a fifth snap. I'm not sure. We got to find the snap counts.
Oh, I'm looking at the snap count. It's five.
Oh, it is five.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Well,
so he handed the ball. That's what I'm saying. He handed the ball off twice by process of elimination.
I must have been
all good
on my computer writing something.
No, I had the Bears send out their game book with the snap counts and the play-by-play and everything. And yeah, he was at five snaps, tied with JP Holtz for 7% of the Bears snaps. That is, right, well, to me, not enough. But no, Ken, real quick before you get into defense, to me, playing one play in and out here and there doesn't do anyone any good. That's just me. I mean, if you're going to have him come in his first play as a professional, his first and 10 in the red zone. Let him run the red zone series. Let him, like, he's a weapon. Yeah. So he gets a, he gets, let me pull up the play by play. I'm sorry. It was second and 10. He came in second and 10 at the 12, and he gets 9 yards in his first play, but no, let's take him out.
And then there was the false start.
And then there was the false start. And then Dalton, who is the savvy veteran, throws an interception in the end zone. That's not what they brought him here to do. Like, that's just, Justin Fields could have done that, but I don't think he would have.
What the hell was he throwing? Was Darnell Mooney supposed to cut a different, like, something was Cole commit? On that play, like, yeah, what? Because even the defender, like, listen, I'm watching it with my family. The lady's like, who the hell is he throwing the ball to?
We and thought it was maybe Montgomery.
Montgomery was coming in. So I was like, wait, is it Montgomery? Like, that was frustrating.
It was not a good throw.
I don't know.
That's a very good point.
Darnell Mooney could have run the wrong route.
That's what I thought.
Like a good throw.
I didn't know. It still didn't look like you should have thrown it there by the amount of defenders that were around there.
Sure.
I'll say that much. Fair. But we don't know who, if someone didn't run the proper route.
With
that's
the caveat that we don't know exactly.
Because I don't think Dalton had a bad game. I wasn't sitting there like infuriated. Some of those drops for guys to talk about. Man, you turn around, the ball's on you. You told us. So when you turn around, catch the damn ball. All right. You said the ball's on you. Andy Dalton gets the ball out early. All right. So get ready for it. I don't think Dalton had a bad game. My only thing when I said that you promised him the next game is, and we've kind of said it here, Justin Fields is such a weapon, and this offense needs as many weapons on the field as possible. And I mean, you saw from that, even though there's going to be some bumps and bruises, he's going to turn the ball over in ways that Andy Dalton won't, even though that Andy Dalton threw that interception. Again, we don't know who to blame for that interception. There's going to be some ups and downs with Justin Fields, but I'm ready to get the show started, in my opinion, rather than do this Andy Dalton thing for more than another game. I think, and again, it's just not, you know, entertain me. It's also because I think Justin Fields is that good. When they put up his college stats, and I think it was, 42 or 43 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and basically a year and a half, because they didn't, the Big Ten didn't play a whole season last year.
Right.
That's sweet. I mean, that's not a guy that you should be fearful of being a turnover factory. That told you that he can really protect the ball and he's not going to make a ton of mistakes. Again, I expect some mistakes. So I'm full on. Let's get to the Justin Fields part of this season. I know I said game three. I took it from the bye week to game three, basically. But defensively, and I think Eric alluded to it already. So I was talking to Mark Grody of WSCR Sideline Reporter on my show, and I asked him a question. I don't know if we talked about it over here, but I asked him this. I said, you know, everyone keeps talking Shana Sai this, Shana Sai that. But when defensive coordinators that have, you know, some type of name to them, a Q rating to say something, you know what I'm saying? That people respect them and they can get any job they want. Would they want to come to a team that you don't know if the future of that coach is certain? Speaking of Matt Nagy here with the Bears, because sometimes we keep saying Shana Sai this, Shana Sai that, when he may have just been really the only guy that really wanted this job without knowing what was going to happen to Matt Nagy. There may have been someone with the name, some retread. So that I felt like we haven't mentioned that a lot talking about Shana Sai. This is early. I hope Shana Sai's play calling is better than what we saw last night. I'm not throwing him under the bus just yet. But I did not come away from that game, one, with the players, what they did. It's not Shana Sai's fault that Eddie Jackson blew that play. All right, so I'm not, by no means am I saying anything like that. But still, I'm really going to have a hard eye on Sean Desai throughout this first quarter, really.
Nice rhyme there. That was good.
Because, I mean, we heard everything about putting these players in position to where their talent should be taken over and putting them in. And I didn't see that yesterday. With Eddie Goldman being out, that still was an ass whooping. Like, Eddie Goldman's not going to change that score around 34-14. Where was the pressure? There's too many, and I know they're older, right? But there's too many names. I guess that's the problem, Kenneth. Mm-hmm. You're saying names, and we're not talking about necessarily the talent. There are too many names on that defense. I don't know if they are the same. Well, clearly age and Father Time catches up to everybody, but I don't know if they're the same players. But you would think just as a cohesive unit with that much talent, they should be able to pull off some special moments. And we really haven't seen that in seasons, to say the least.
Yeah, it was not an inspiring debut, as I mentioned earlier, and you just went through, Ken. But I'm willing to give him the benefit. It's his first game. It's his first time calling a legit NFL game. Preseason doesn't count. And it just wasn't, you know, his players definitely let him down. We have no idea what was called, what was, you know, what coverage might have been blown, et cetera, et cetera. But the biggest thing that stood out to me, other than the issues in the secondary, just no pressure, no consistent pressure at all. They had one sack that was split by Akeem Hicks and Robert Quinn. Hicks looked pretty good. I thought Hicks looked more or less like himself. But for the healthiest game of the year, because as we all know, you get a little less healthy every week as you accumulate, you know, bumps and bruises and absorb hits and whatnot. Khalil Mack was a non-factor. The non-factor. He had one assisted tackle, I believe. That's just not good enough. I know that he's getting chipped. I know he's getting double teamed, et cetera, but you need more from your best player. You just do. That was unfortunate. I thought Roquan Smith had a pretty solid game. He was flying around. One play in particular, he, you know, flew over to the sideline to take down a little swing pass, and that looked good. But there just wasn't nearly enough positives from that group, from the amount of names, the amount of money you've invested in that side of the ball, Ken, like you're saying. It just they were not noticeable in good ways nearly enough. And they were noticeable for bad reasons, unfortunately, at least in the secondary. So let's hope they pull it together. That's probably one of the best offenses they'll face this year. That's the other part of this that we need to acknowledge, that might be one of their toughest tests of the year. There are other teams coming that are pretty damn good too, but the Rams and McVay, that's probably one of the more creative, one of the more surgical offenses they'll face. Stafford had a solid game, solid debut, looked pretty good. It's easy to look good, though, when the guy's open by 20 yards in any direction around him. Facts. But he made the throw, and he looked pretty solid. Didn't turn the ball over. You know, that's something that's been a bugaboo for him over the years. So, hey, kudos to him. Good debut for L.A. But, what not nearly good enough from the defense, not even close to being good enough. So Desai has a lot of work to do. And like you said, Ken, I think he gets a bit of a grace period here as he integrates himself and figures out what he likes to call and what his players respond the best to in terms of coverages or schemes or blitzes or whatever. So willing to give him a few more games to kind of get his feet wet. But I mean, they don't have a ton of time either. This is the NFL. You only get 17 of these now. So you got to really get back on track here against Cincinnati. Cleveland's in 3 weeks. Otherwise, you know, 0-2, you're staring down the barrel here a little bit with a tough stretch coming up. So they got to be better. That's bottom line. They have to be better.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Bengals showed they're no cupcakes, right?
Oh, I think everybody was kind of looking like, oh, you know, you have this really tough game, but the Bengals.
Jamar Chase, what drops? What drops?
Yeah, listen, right. I was talking trash about the Bengals last episode, and I like Joe Burrow, to be honest with you. I wasn't a draft Jamar Chase. I was just getting an offensive lineman for Joe Burrow and protect him. The Bengals look good yesterday. I mean, Joe Burrow was Joe Burrow, and Jamar Chase was excellent.
And that defensive line. I mean, let's talk again, right? I mean, the offensive line is a question mark. Cody Whitehair at one point was thrown like a rag doll by Aaron Donald. And I know that that's Aaron Donald, but I mean, like, he just, it looked like he just picked him up and moved him to the side on one particular play. And then the Bears are already down to their third left tackle.
Dude.
And the Bengals defensive line looked really good.
That's been a strength of their team for a while now. Yeah.
Look, it was great to see. And I don't think Charles Leno would have been able to do this when Jason Peters disengaged from that D lineman and popped out and hit that in. Listen, Andy Dalton would have got murdered if Charles Leno Jr. was down there. He was playing that game. But guess what? Charles Leno Jr. would have finished this game. All right.
That was exactly our worry, right? That we'll get that play, but he can't finish the game.
And we talked about this on the last show. And I've been on shows where people, they come for my neck for just talking about the fact that Charles Leno has been injured throughout the last four seasons, right? It's just facts. And to say
Jason Peters has been injured.
Thank you.
Charles Leno is never injured.
True. He's just mid, as you know what. Just it's supremely mid. But sometimes you got to be happy with that mid.
Best ability is availability.
Listen, you got to take what you can get your hands on. But to sit there and as you just said, Alex, and I'm not going to diss Larry Borum because that's just some freak accident that happened.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. That wasn't his fault that he got injured that early. But to get down like this and you cause this, like you didn't need to do this. And it rears its head at the beginning of the year. I thought we could at least get to game 7 before Jason Peters went out the game. Like, oh, dude, oh my Jesus. I'm sorry. Like, this is going to be a long year.
Send your get well cards to Tevin Jenkins now.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude, can you come back quick? How you feeling? Huh? How's the nerve?
Yeah, how's that back?
Yeah, okay. So you want to smack his you good? You ready?
Couple more weeks. Okay.
Oh, wow. You're already down to your third. There was an Elijah Wilkinson appearance
last. Yes, there was.
Crazy. Oh, my. You did not have to be in this position. None of us are Charles Leno Jr. fans. Let's lead with that. We're not saying here like, man, I'm telling you something about some good linemen. That Charles Leno Jr. boy. All right. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying, as E just said, he's available. Availability is your best asset. All right.
He was always there.
Yeah. So that was frustrating. It's the worst part of this is issues that the Bears caused themselves, in my opinion. And I know we don't agree on it, but the fourth downs, you weren't helping them by doing that. And I said it then. It wasn't a hindsight 2020 thing. All right. The fact that you got rid of Charles Leno Jr. and you tried to move a right tackle to left tackle, and you did the same with Larry Borum, all right, when all you had to do was try to see if one of these kids could play right this year. And if not, Jermaine Ifedi is right there. He showed us at the end of last year that he can be serviceable, all right? That's all you had to do. Somebody needed to just get signed, y'all, for the damn cap, all right? Choose who it is. Give A-Rob his money, but there was no reason to hurt your offensive line, and it bit you in game one. That's ridiculous. Go.
TG from the peanut gallery.
From the clouds. Tony Gill has entered the chat. Guys, like, I agree 100% that has been said. I just wanted to add that here was my thing. As that was going on, from everything that we've heard in this offseason from Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, this whole time, the whole spiel, it felt like we were lied to. Like, all this stuff. Somebody's been
reading Jason Leisure.
Yeah, because like, it's what are you seeing that the other 32 teams or 31 teams aren't seeing? And we're supposed to trust them and their football acumen on – okay, we know what to do with the offensive line. We don't need Charles Leno Jr. You know, like, we know we're doing that quarterback. We know how to develop quarterbacks. And it's like, you haven't proven any of this the whole time. You haven't proven any of this.
What do you think is the lie, though? What's the lie in that?
No. The lie is, you know what you're doing.
So here's the thing, the big lie. So I think, do you think that's more of a lying to yourselves? Do you think that's more of a lying to yourselves thing than lying to the public? Like, they, I think they truly believe that they know what they're doing, and it might be more of a like, maybe we don't, and we're just not acknowledging.
I mean, I don't know, at that point, I don't know what's worse, being lied to or them really actually believing that they're doing, like, they're doing the best that they can, and this is the best way forward, and it absolutely not being that. I mean, I don't, who, the decision making of this organization as a whole so far, comparative to, if we're going to do a juxtaposition next to, like, the guy, right, Sean McVay, he is the new form of the coach. Everybody was looking for that. Matt Nagy was supposed to be him. And it's obvious he is not that dude. He is not him. Ryan Pace, this new hotshot young GM, he's supposed to, you know, bring this organization back to prominence and up to date. Like, he is not that guy. And they're just like, okay. But they're every week, I think, this year, because of their schedule and the way it's formed, they're going to be stripped of all the stuff that they sold. And it's going to be even more obvious that they probably should have been fired when they were supposed to be fired. And the Justin Fields thing is not going to help them, I don't think.
I don't care. Go ahead, yeah. Alex.
I don't know what they were selling other than, I mean, if we want to take a big picture view, one of the things that they were selling this year is that we believe we're a playoff team and we're here to win and we're here to make the playoffs, right? And when you're playing the Los Angeles Rams, wow, what a great test out the gate. And we've all mentioned it, right? That these guys look like they're one of the best teams in the NFC. So let's see how you stack up against them in week one. And turns out, no, the Bears do not stack up against them. So right out the gate, you were kind of outclassed by an excellent team. So now you really do have to go out and prove that are you a playoff team? Because you just played a playoff team and were outmatched pretty much start to finish. But again, big picture view, that looks like one of the best teams in the NFC. Ken, you kind of made me laugh earlier when you said it's week one and it's like the whole season's effed already. I don't know about that. I don't know that the whole season is effed already.
This season is effed.
Well, I don't know if it's effed. I don't know if it's effed, but next week is a pretty big gut check. And a week two gut check is never what you want to see, but that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, not the full Burrow.
Like, we all had the questions about Jason Peters. How
only much Siakam is he gonna had play? These questions, Alex.
Right. Right. No, exactly. Like,
shout out
everybody. Yeah, exactly. We all kind of knew what the deal was. Like, if he can play, he's pretty good. If he can play, and he had one bad snap that I saw. Maybe there was another one, but there was
he got
only one.
Did you see when he got knocked down like a Romeo?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! That,
oh God, no!
Somebody help that old man!
And then they did the slow mo replay. It was like, oh no!
But beyond that, he was solid. And then same thing. Like Larry Borum came in there, and Larry Borum didn't look bad. Borum didn't look bad. So again, like, that's a dude who they drafted.
How many snaps did you see Larry Borum out there for you?
Ryan Pace for a dude getting injured because I
blame Ryan Pace that you didn't have to have any of those people play left tackle this season is why I blame Ryan Pace. I want to say this one thing to Tony's question about the lie and how we bandied about it. Regardless if you're lying to yourself or lying to us, if you're lying to yourself, you're still lying to us too.
Because it's a
property.
Lie.
Transitive property.
Wait, I want to get this out. I got this from Brad Biggs in the Tribune. The Rams averaged 7.72 yards per play, the fourth highest average allowed by the Bears in the last 20 years.
Hello.
That figure includes 4 kneel downs by Stafford. Remove those, and the Bears defense allowed 8.52 yards per play, which rank as the most in the last 20 seasons. That was that defense. Mm. And again, that's two big blown plays, but still. And this is a quarterback. The worst part, this is a quarterback that you know in an offense that you kind of know because – you didn't know with Jared Goff. They wouldn't use Jared Goff in this fashion. Sean McVay wouldn't. But this wasn't the nice taste for the first beginning of the season.
And if we're going to grab some stats from other illustrious Bears beat writers, this is from Kevin Fishbane. He had the 7.7 stat in some fashion as well. But talking about Stafford, hit a career high in passer rating and yards per attempt. He's been around a while. So that should tell you something. And
he was also trapped in Detroit. I mean, maybe this is Matt Stafford, right? Like, I'm in Los Angeles.
100%.
And I'm with Sean McVay.
Weapons everywhere.
No, I tweeted out yesterday after the first touchdown by Matt Stafford. I'm like, I think we're about to find out that Matt Stafford probably great at football.
Dude, he can sling it, man.
We know that here in Chicago. We know he was suffering from being in Detroit. I saw two guys. I saw Barry Sanders retire early. We all saw Megatron retire early because that organization and how no one wants to be there, and they stuck. The Ford family has run that team poorly, and we knew the only thing they had was Matthew Stafford, and he was giving them his all. I was talking here with the family, and I was talking about his first 4 years, how he was injured, and how it kind of gave him that fragile label. And coming out of Georgia, I think we all love the arm talent, but we know Matthew Stafford is a stud. I root for him because of his wife. I was saying that to the family last night when they first showed the lady, it was his wife that wasn't his wife. Yeah. But I was saying, I was like, she had some issues a couple years ago. And just so I root for Matt Stafford and his family or whatever. But man, he put a beating on that team. But I think we all kind of knew that Matthew Stafford is a stud if he's healthy and he's upright. And I mean, now he's with a brilliant tactician in Sean McVay. And this is what you're going to get. Listen, there's a reason that Sean McVay tossed aside Jared Goff, knowing that he was holding them up for getting to the next
threw
level.
Threw him overboard. Threw him overboard.
As he should. I mean, because you know what? It's going to come home to roost on you sooner or later, regardless of if that quarterback's not getting this done. They're going to say to the head coach, it's you, and you were going to get rid of you. And one, the quarterback, usually they have a lot of dead cap money, has so much money on the team that they don't want to get rid of the quarterback. They'd rather see if somebody else can try to figure out their quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I'm with him tossing him, but it's that's what happens when you put together two a mental talent and a physical mental talent in Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. That's what you get, man. And listen, they're my team. Well, go ahead, Alex.
We can reflect that back on Chicago and the Bears. I mean, Sean McVay, that offense last season with Jared Goff did not look good. They made the playoffs because their defense was incredible. They beat the Seahawks last season in the playoffs because the Seahawks were completely imploding. I mean, the Seahawks were in free fall by the time the playoffs hit. I mean, it's kind of similar. So all this talk about Matt Nagy, and again, like, I'm just trying to look at it from different angles, reframe it in different ways, because there's so much to unpack with last night's game, right? So that's another way you can reframe it. Is Matthew Stafford to Sean McVay like Justin Fields might be one day to Matt Nagy, where Matt Nagy finally gets his dude who is a legit quarterback, and then it's like, oh, wait, yeah, no, the offense can't work. Now, the Rams' offensive line is a little bit better. They still got – they got old man Rivers out there on the offensive line.
Whitworth.
I mean, I don't know. Like, again, we don't know because we haven't seen it yet. But I can't see some? That.
Can you give me some of that? Whatever it is you're taking, can I get a little bit?
Can I get some of that Kool-Aid?
I'm just saying, can I get whatever it is?
It's no sleep delirium. It's just no sleep delirium straight to the dome.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if that's the case, if Fields can help unlock what Nagy wants to do on offense, right? Much as Stafford clearly is operating the full version of whatever Sean McVay wanted to do that Jared Goff held him back from doing, why isn't he playing?
He's gonna play this season.
I know, but like, why wait? Why let the season go?
I don't know. There's a plan, man. I'm just there's a plan, man. There's a plan.
Thanks, Matt. I just think we saw the plan last night, and the plan doesn't look great. The plan looks like Andy Dalton's looked for 5 years. Like, he's a dude. He's a dude. He's a nice guy. He's a competent quarterback, but he's just a dude. That's it.
I don't think Andy Dalton was the reason they lost the game, though.
No, he was.
They couldn't tackle.
They couldn't tell you. You want to talk about those 8 yards per play?
No, no, no. Like, you are
tackle somebody.
Here's the thing, though. The ceiling with that offense is here with Andy Dalton. We know what it is. Justin Fields, we don't know. It could be high. It could be way higher. We don't know. And I want to find out. So I don't know, man. I think they're going to stick to their guns. I don't think that Justin Fields starts next week, because you're right. Dalton was not horrific. Dalton was fine. Dalton had some bad moments, and he had a couple good moments. Like, it was a mixed bag. It was exactly what I kind of expected. He threw for 200 yards. Cool. You know, great, with no electricity. I don't know. I feel like you have a chance to plug into like a live wire to get some of that voltage in your offense with Justin Fields. And yeah, they threw him in there for five plays, but that just, I feel like that just gives everyone the taste of wanting more. It almost gets them more riled up. It's like, there he is. Why is he coming out? Like, what are we doing? I don't know, man. It's it just perplexes me. I want to see Fields out there, because I think in the long term, if you're talking, we've been talking big picture a few times here. That is the big picture. He is the big picture. A lot of these things on this team are going to change over his tenure here in Chicago. This season is all about him and his development. Let's be honest. And I let's start the clock. They clearly think he's ready to play, because they played him. They put him in. If they think that he can handle it, then handle it. Let's go. Let's take the leash off. Let's go.
Two things from this. I don't know if I believe that Matt Nagy can help a quarterback, or really if you give him a quarterback that fits his system, that his system properly executed can necessarily win you games. We will find out sometime this year. But it's early. This is early. This is Ken's way too early take. I'm almost to the point where it's like, you know what? Blow this ish up, to be honest with you. That's what went through my mind yesterday. I mean, try to get as much as you can do to protect Fields, because, I mean, that's the future. But if that defense, and I know the Rams are a special team, but if that defense is going to play like that, I don't care who stays. All right? Like, I listen. Oh, no, I do care. It's one person. Keep Akeem Hicks. All right? But outside of that. Roquan
Smith?
But Ken,
no, like, Roquan's going to be here. Roquan's going to be here, Alex. The young guys, I'm saying, no, those guys are going to be here.
You're talking about the vet.
But listen, one of those young vets that plays at the back end, oh, he can go. All right? Like, he can carry, roll tide all day, but he can carry his ass on, because I'm not tired of it.
Ken, you brought up a good point. We talked about it in the preview about, like, how long should they be trying to push versus develop Justin Fields? And we kind of said that it kind of depends on Khalil Mack. Well, I think we saw kind of what Khalil Mack is about. Oh,
somebody need him.
And like, remember, it was like a debate or like a actual conversation. Oh man, who's better, Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald? Like,
that debate ended 4 years ago.
I think we have our answer, and I think
we've had our answer. Yes,
for a couple years now. And if the whole point was you have to get the most out of the Khalil Mack run, if he isn't playing at an elite level, and like, it can't be just, oh, he's doing good. No, if he's not, he wasn't even drawing double teams yesterday.
No, he's not wrecking games. You need him to be a game wrecker.
There's no real point of trying to pursue these playoff championship aspirations when you have a quarterback to develop, and that should be the priority.
No, I'll push back on that. When you have a quarterback to develop and a rookie contract, that's one of the main reasons to go for it. Yeah. I just don't think they can do it. So
they're not playing them.
That's my problem. I don't think Justin Field changes that defense. I mean, I know he helps them because he may keep them off the field, and he helps them because he may score points. So, but as far as what takes place when they're on the field, I'm going to give them the first quarter, but I'm losing confidence in, and it's not like I shouldn't, you know, because they haven't been the same defense. But that story, that narrative that was sold to us this training camp, I feel like was a lie. And I'll say this too. Did anybody else, we can start closing this out. Is anybody else concerned that Matt Nagy said, you know, me and Sean got to get together and watch the tape and figure something out? Matt Nagy, the guy that has left the defensive coordinator alone basically the majority of the time here, is now the guy that we have to depend on helping the defense when he can't even help the offense? I was just slightly concerned when he said that. That's my little take right there.
I don't know.
I think that's more just like, hey, we're just gonna put our minds together. Sean's a collaborative guy. Clearly, they're working together.
That's what I'm worried about.
Was just like, leave me alone and do my thing.
That's what I'm worried about.
Okay,
I'm worried about Chuck what you just said.
A 40-year coaching veteran. I don't need to, like, he's gonna do his thing. Fine. Desai's a younger guy. He's his first coordinator job. I think that makes sense that they would put their heads together first.
I'm accepting accountability too. Like, I'm kind of protecting my guy.
Go Ken.
Put it all on Shine and say, like, Sean's got to figure this out. It was like, we're a team. We're going to figure this out.
I think it made sense, Eric. My only part is he hasn't done right on his side of the ball, and the dependence on him helping on the other side of the ball is why I'm saying it. You haven't mastered the side of the ball that we brought you here for, and you've not really wanted to have any parts of the defense. Of course, as the head coach with the young coordinator, he has to step in. But for me, depending on his knowledge and know-how to help Sean Desai is where I'm kind of concerned, and we'll see how that plays out throughout the season.
That's a fair point.
Does help. That's kind of what I was getting at. Like, I don't know what he actually meant by that. You know, to me, when I hear that, it's him throwing his name in to accept accountability because he's the head coach. I don't think he's actually saying, like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to teach the defense and I'm going to right the ship. I think he's just like, hey, we're a team. The buck stops here. So I'm going to throw my name in to protect Sean Desai a little bit, even though he doesn't need protection or whatever. But you know what I mean? He's not like saying, oh yeah, Sean's got to figure that out.
He's sharing the blame. He's taking, shouldering, you know, as the head coach.
Yeah. That's to me what I hear is that he's not actually going to be going in those meetings. And like,
I don't think he's going into the meetings. I do think they're going to meet and watch tape, and he's going to give him his opinion on some of the things that took place. I don't think he's going to jump into defensive meetings or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would do that. You say what?
And that's the one Sean Desai says, go score 28 points. And then how about that? And then you come over here and tell me what to do. How about that?
Yeah. Here's my last thought before we wrap here. I think Alex, it was you who said Andy Dalton wasn't the reason they lost, right? Was that you or somebody said that? I think it was. Okay.
I said that.
And that's totally true. He also wasn't the solution. He wasn't the reason why you could overcome some things. And we might have a solution sitting on the bench playing five snaps, and we don't know. That's why I got worked up about it. That's why I'm so just, let's start the clock here, because you might have a solution to some of these problems. Not all of them. It won't be it won't overcome everything on defense, but it could help you out a little bit and get you closer to where you want to be. I just want to see that solution, and Andy Dalton ain't it, man. He ain't it.
Facts. That's facts.
I mean,
yeah, exactly. We're all with you.
No lie there. No lie there.
No lie detected whatsoever.
I am not going out on a limb. Let's be very clear. This is not me making some bold proclamation. I'm trying to verbalize exactly how I feel about this, and it just to try and help. Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are feeling the same way. I'm just trying to, let's have solidarity here. Like, this is the reason why. I'm not trying to say throw Dalton to the curb just because he sucks or whatever. He's fine, but we need more than fine. We need Justin Fields, man. We need to see what he's got. You got to know, because this next offseason is huge. Ken, we talked about the cap a couple episodes ago. This offseason is going to be critical for trying to surround Justin Fields with talent to take advantage of his rookie contract window. And I think you want to know as much as you can about how he plays and what he likes and how he looks out there before making all these massive decisions. And you're just not doing yourself any favors right now. And, oh, by the way, you might win some games now, too. Just as throwing it out there.
I don't think the Bears were winning that game last night. Justin Fields starting or Andy Dalton. I don't think the Bears are winning that game last night.
Facts. That's true. That's the truth.
And I'm not saying that he would have been the cure all. Let's make that clear. I just think he might help you as an offense moving forward just reach a higher ceiling. That's all. That's what I got. I'm tapped out. That was a disappointing opener, but there were certainly some glimmers of interest. Got to shout out David Montgomery one last time. He ran about as well as he ever has as a Bear. We haven't talked about him a ton, but he was great. And got to regroup and got to come out stronger in the home opener against Cincinnati next Sunday.
If we're doing one last things while we're wrapping up, I'll make David Montgomery my one last thing.
Yes.
All this offseason, we've been talking about what is the Bears' offensive identity. We didn't know even if the Bears knew what their offensive identity is. I think Montgomery just went out and said, I need to be this team's
offensive identity. The offense should run through him. I think that's pretty clear. Like he looked like the best dude on the field at multiple times. He's clearly a different guy on the field, off the field. I want to see him really, really take the offense on his shoulders. And I mean, he wasn't going down after contact.
Oh no.
He was showing vision. He was showing juke ability. I mean,
that extra gear, really that extra gear talk was not just talk. Like he was.
Yes, bound. You saw it. You
exactly.
Saw, that
you
best.
Saw it.
That was him at his best yesterday. I mean, the next level that how he was getting to the next level was special yesterday. I was like, oh, so you really going to be top five for real, for real. Not just down to the bottom stretch of the season. Like you have something. I mean, again, in talking with Matt Nagy, that's why Pokemon do. You got to play through the David Montgomery. You got to commit to running the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a player there. Wear his ass out. And I hate saying that, but that's how the NFL is set up when it comes to running backs, right? Use him. Take advantage of having that player in your backfield. But like you said, Alex, he definitely deserved us talking him up a tad bit more.
And he only had 17 touches last night.
Well, listen, I'll say this. Not to say he couldn't have more. When you're getting blown out sometimes, you know, like you're not going to necessarily run the ball. But I mean, again, listen, I said to Matt Nagy, you can at least just give him. I was being nice. I said 17 carries a game. All right.
He 16 listened. Carries, one target. That was it. 16
Matt
carries,
did
one
not
target.
Lie, Tony. Matt Nagy's not a liar, Tony. All right. Listen, we'll be back Wednesday. Hogue will probably be with us. As you already know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're going to get us guys talking Bears football. That's it for the Under Center podcast. Rate, follow, review, hit us with the 5-star, and if you're betting, use PointsBet.